We kick off hour number three here live from the Fan Run Studios at Fox Sports Knoxville. They were remodeled by Triphase Construction. For all your commercial needs, hit up triphaseconstruction.com and they can help you out right here in Knoxville with all your commercial projects. A project from the ground up, they got you covered. A build out, they got you covered. Remodel, got you covered there as well. It's triphaseconstruction.com for all your construction needs. All right, let's debate it for at least a second. Is Alabama falling apart? Is it not going to matter because the players are so good right now? Is this one of those things where it's like the start and the team like this coming year will be good, but the coaching?
I don't think this is an unfixable problem. If you go out and hire good coaches, maybe you take a slight dip in recruiting, but you're still going to be able to coach up the current talent that you have. Like this is fixable for Nick Saban. It's embarrassing, though. And I do think that everyone nationally is starting to look around and say, huh, maybe that's not the best way.
Yeah.
Maybe going somewhere where you can have a little more fun is an option and still win a bunch of games.
Well, it's definitely not the only way. That's already been proven.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not broken, but right now it's at least not fixed either, and I think this is opening the eyes of recruits around the country that can say, well, that doesn't look so great. Maybe other options should be considered a little bit more than Alabama right now.
I wanted to add a note to an earlier topic. Dylan Griffin, the kid coming on the official visit, the diamond in the rough guy that only played 1 year of football, His brother, former Texas A&M wide receiver, Speedy Noel. That was sent in by Brian on Twitter. Appreciate that, Brian. So anyway, just want to get that in there at some point. You mentioned recruiting. So there you go.
All right.
Well, T-Cart mentioned it, though. I mean, like, it has to affect Alabama's recruiting on some level that you, like, don't have coaches right now and then you'll have new ones again.
Well,
it's just how much.
Especially before this year's signing day. Now, I don't know how much next year. Again, it's Alabama. They'll get some good coaches in there. They'll tidy up some things and everything will probably be fixed. But the problem is you're only a couple weeks away from the early – or the signing day, and you are still in on guys like Toto. Chris Bogle is unsigned. They've got like 25 guys signed. It's not like the class is going to just completely melt down.
Mm-hmm.
But you could lose some guys you thought you'd get. And I think the guys that maybe signed already are thinking, hey, wait a minute. I was recruited by Tosh Lapoy. I was recruited by Dan Enos. I was recruited by Mike Locksley, and now none of these guys are here. Hey, you told me to build a relationship with these guys. I like them. They're part of the reason I chose Alabama, and now everybody's just gone, and you got stomped in the national title. It's not the best way for, 25 new players to kind of start their career at Alabama. You wonder if there's maybe some resentment there.
Yeah. And if you have a relationship with a guy, he leaves, and now the new guy, if you're not...
Yeah, if you don't like him.
Right in sync with him.
Right.
That can be a problem. I also wonder if Saban's unwillingness to go out... I mean, basically the entire Feldman piece in The Athletic was just like, Saban drives the train. It really doesn't. He's just so good that as long as the guys around him do their job and he kind of makes them do their job, that the train just keeps on rolling. Like that's the whole idea. But I do wonder, like, at some point, if Saban's unwillingness, like bringing Steve Sarkisian back, like, yeah, that'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if he just promotes or brings people back in who he just has connections to, at some point, you're giving up the chance of hiring someone better for that position. Like Saban, I mean, he probably could hire some guys that are really good coaches, but he might have to take time out of his day to get to know them also. You know what I mean? Like to call up some of the top guys and he might even get turned down by some guys who are at really good spots right now and like what they're doing and don't want to, have to go to Alabama and maybe not work out.
Like, Saban's cut from an older cloth. Modern people, younger people.
In this country.
This country. You don't add inches to your height. You thought I was going to say it. I just said that because he's short.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, as the game kind of gets younger. I mean, look at the NFL, right? All the coaches are, like all the programs that were hiring coaches anyway, like they're looking younger. They're the franchises are thinking, okay, who's the next McVay? Who's the list goes on, right? Like, Kingsbury. Yeah, yeah. A lot of younger people don't have the work ethic that Nick Saban has. Not a lot of people really at all have that, right? I mean, that's like a rare type of intensity and of work ethic. I mean, that's like typically reserved for like high level military intelligence, things like that. So I think as the game gets younger and newer, right, with as we see things like the air raid and all the different, you know, spread and passing, I mean, so on and so forth, in order for him to keep up, he's going to have to get some guys like that. You know, when he hired Lane Kiffin, everyone said, oh, come on. That was a great hire for Nick Saban. But you know who it wasn't a great hire for? Lane Kiffin. He hated it. He continues to say in interviews, oh, it was miserable. There's no fun. He yells at you just to yell at you. It's a horrible working environment. Because to a lot of people, winning college football games, yeah, it's important, but it's not life or death. To Nick Saban, it's all that matters.
Right.
Right? And so if you're talking about national security, right, if you're talking about war, or even if you were talking about running a multi-billion dollar company as the CEO, yeah, like you want someone like that in charge. But when we're talking about a game, it's hard for a lot of people to understand and comprehend this level of intensity, let alone want to be surrounded by it. You want to go play for the young, cool coach. You want to go play for a guy like Mike Leach, who's going to have a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot, right? You're going to practice hard. Guys like Dabo, hey, when we come to practice, you're going to work hard. But we're going to treat you like human beings, and you're going to have fun. That's why Dabo's coaches don't leave. They're good. He treats them well. They're compensated, and they have a life. Nick Saban, it's the opposite. And as the game changes, I just wonder if it's going to be harder and harder for him to evolve with the game because he's not going to be able to attract as many candidates who are capable of taking, you know, Alabama football to where it needs to be because they don't like Nick Saban's style.
Yeah.
And that's what's weird, too. Everyone keeps saying, not everyone, but a lot of people say, yeah, I can't wait till Saban's gone and then Alabama hires Dabo. I don't know, as an organization, if you could make that 180 switch overnight. Like, that would be a very weird thing to me. I guess they could try. But then, you know, to your point, you've said it multiple times, like, why would Dabo leave? He's built his own dynasty, his own legacy right now at Clemson. And he's done it in a way that I think the majority of people across the country appreciate much more than they appreciate the way Nick Saban does it. Obviously, you can't look at the national championships, the wins, the Heismans, the success. You can't look at that and not appreciate the greatness, but it's the way he's done it. It's like, well, Nick Saban's a robot. Like, yeah, he's having all the success, but it's not real. You look at Dabo, and it's like, man, that guy's real. And he's doing it the right way. So I think it just has a very different feel. But I do wonder, yeah, like going to get Sarkisian, I don't know. Like, to your point, it's like, oh, okay. I mean, he coached one game for you. Maybe you like the guy. At least he's familiar with some of the stuff you like to do. But is that really going to make you better? Or are you just kind of staying in the same situation you've been in? So we'll see.
I mean, yeah,
I don't know. They're always going to get talent. It is Alabama, but you just wonder if maybe this is a T-Carp tweeted us last night and said it's crumbling. I mean, I don't know if it's crumbling, but I think you're starting to see some stress cracks, right?
Yeah,
I think you're starting to see some chips in the paint. I think you're starting to see that maybe this thing isn't as impenetrable as we thought. Which is good for everybody else, and I do agree with T-Carp. I think it's good for college football. I like that there's an alternative to Alabama now. I wish it was Tennessee, but I like that there's an alternative.
Yeah, I mean, you would just think that Alabama being, you know, the best, I mean, obviously Clemson beat them this year, but you would think if you have the best program in college football, the dynasty, so to speak, that you would be able, as the head coach, that anytime you have an opening, basically just call a guy up and say, hey, you can be the next offensive coordinator at Alabama. Let's go. Come on. But because of the way Nick Saban has treated people over the years, the way that, I mean, we talked about, like, if people check in with Tyson Helton to ask about Jeremy Pruitt, a similar type of thing. Like, if it's made, I don't know, it's Saban won't have to apologize at the end of this run because he will have done stuff no other coach has ever done.
And he never will because he doesn't care. Because in his mind, at least at the end, not right now, but he'll say, I did enough to prove that this way was a good enough way.
But I do think that if he was a little bit different with these coaches and if it was a little bit of a better way, better place to be as a coach, he would be able to do that. I mean, he would be able to call up any offense. He could look at college football last year and go, man, that guy's offense is incredible. Mm-hmm. He'd be perfect for Tua and what I want to do moving forward. I'm going to call him up and just get him. Kind of like the Yankees in baseball free agency. You know, like you just get whoever you want. But right now he's stuck. He's in a place where that's not the case. A, because his guys all left kind of late and weirdly in some cases, like Enos in the middle of the night. And
where the bleep is Dad? We don't know. I'll go look for him. And then I'll come with you. Let me help.
And then also there's just so many openings. A lot of guys have already made their move. And I know we've seen some guys move twice, but that's not the norm.
This was Jeremy Pruitt's plan. Get everybody else a raise or get them to take another job. Leave Alabama with nothing. Of course, with Manny Diaz and Chip Lindsey, we've seen guys will take a job and then leave for another one. So I guess maybe no one's off the board. But if he comes after Chaney, oh, my God.
Total Vols move says, recruiting won't hurt for Bama. They still have a highly talented up-and-coming coach in Butch Jones. That's the next thing. Like, what happens with that guy?
I just got a migraine.
Is he going to?
I have a migraine.
All right. We'll see.
I'm afraid the book's out on Butch Jones. I think
Maryland Loxley kind of told everybody, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, Butch, I know I talked about you being my tight ends coach, but I can't stand you. Take a walk.
Yeah, Donnie sent us in. It says, everything in football the past 4 to 5 years has been about building culture in your program. And it's only natural. It means the assistant coaches, too, not just players. So, I mean, that makes sense. Like at Alabama, and Jeremy Pruitt has used this same tactic with some of the guys at Tennessee, so it's not all bad. But to say, hey, this is some element of business here.
Mm-hmm.
You come play here. We'll get you in the NFL. We're going to use you to win a lot of games and make us a lot of money. We're going to make you money on the back end. That's the deal.
Yeah.
And so, as Enos tweeted, sometimes with the assistants, business is business.
It was time to move on.
We'll move on. Segment number two, hour three on the flip side. Stick with us right here. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Security Service. Check them out for all your commercial security needs online at KnoxvilleSecurityService.com. You can even get a free quote right there on the website. Or you can give them a call if you prefer that way, 865-368-5946. That's 865-368-5946. It's Knoxville Security Service. So we talked about kind of the crazy coaching staff stuff at Alabama. Tennessee's is much more settled. But there is still some reshuffling that's going to have to take place. Charles Kelly to Maryland was kind of gaining steam, but now there's reports that he's going to stay. He's been taken off the road recruiting for Tennessee so that T. Martin can get on the road. But if he doesn't take the Maryland job, like, that may be a little awkward. Like, what do you do then if you're Jeremy Pruitt? If Charles goes like, you know what, I think I'd like to stay. And if he's saying that, it would make sense that means Pruitt still wants him around if he can keep him. Because if not, he'd just take the job, right? So I'm a little confused with how that's going to go down. Charles Kelly also...
But you and me both.
He's safeties and...
Special teams. It's kind of awkward, you know, when you've hired a coach and you don't have an open spot.
Yeah.
Does he just go find the weakest link and shuffle guys around? I thought it was, again, I said this yesterday or the day before, I thought it was weird that you're taking an offensive guy and you were going to lose a defensive guy. I thought that was kind of strange.
Right.
And so now if you're not going to lose Charles Kelly, and I don't know what has happened with David Johnson and Auburn. Has Auburn hired a wide receivers coach yet?
I don't know.
I'll research it.
You guys jump on that. That's weird. There was link there
because for a week that was kind of the makes a lot of sense. No problem. now not so much. And I just don't know. Charles Kelly planning on staying. I guess that makes you feel good. Hey, I'd rather stay here and be safety special teams coordinator than go to Maryland with Locksley.
Yeah.
We're just kicking Maryland's ass too. Craig Fitzgerald, Charles Kelly.
It's true. I didn't think about that. You're right.
Auburn fans want David Johnson because of his, you know, connection to Dillingham, their current OC, hired away from Memphis, which is where Tennessee got David Johnson from. But I mean, in my head, I'm thinking Winky or Johnson. Someone DM'd me yesterday and said Chris Winky and Pruitt are quickly becoming pretty tight. Pruitt likes Chris Winky a lot. Says that's kind of his guy, and that Winky has been instrumental on the recruiting trail. So Jeremy Pruitt having currently the opposite problem of Nick Saban. Coaches like him and want to stay so much that you're expecting staff turnover and don't get it. Nick Saban, everyone's gone, and the guy you thought would stay ditched you at the altar and didn't even tell you he wasn't going to be there. I mean, Niedermeyer has to stay. Apparently, yes. Winky has to stay.
Yeah, he does.
T has to stay. David Johnson? Sorry?
It's got to be Johnson or Winky, right?
I think he likes Winky a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I think he and Winky are tight. Is there a defensive cut?
Somebody even suggested maybe .
I was going to say I didn't think Tracy Rocker did a very good job this year, you know, coaching or recruiting, but, you can't replace a defensive line coach with T. Martin coaching wide receivers or quarterbacks or something. It's such a weird problem to have to talk about. We were looking for an OC for 46 days. Now we're trying to ditch a coach to get T. Martin a spot.
Just pick one, Jeremy. Just walk into the meeting and say.
I mean, is it possible he goes to T. Martin and he's like, hey, look, I don't have anybody I can get rid of, but I can make you an analyst for a year.
No.
At 50 grand.
No.
No, because he's already signed the MOU, right? Like, there's already something signed that probably has a figure attached to it.
That will not happen.
Meanwhile, you're stealing D'Angelo Gibbs from Georgia. This is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Pruitt's so liked. He's so beloved across the industry. No one wants to leave, and everyone wants to join. I don't know what you do, though. I legitimately have no idea if you're Jeremy Pruitt, other than firing someone or demoting someone, how you fix this. I mean, and none of the guys you currently have on your offensive staff are going to take a demotion. So I guess you're just going to have to tell someone to pack it up. Again, the question is who?
That's why Jeremy Pruitt sits in the big chair. Just got to call somebody in and make it happen.
You're not wrong. But, Jim Chaney has to stay without question. Will Friend, buddy, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
David Johnson, maybe. Niedermeyer, he ain't going nowhere. Chris Winky, again, sounds like Pruitt really likes Chris Winky. Doubt he's the guy that they at least force out. Now, maybe Winky gets an offer he can't turn down. Maybe Alabama comes and steals one of these guys. I don't know. But other than that, those are the openings. You've got Osave as player development.
Those don't even help, though, if they're off field.
Nope, they're off the field. I don't even think he's allowed to do it. Could you bring T. Martin in as a GA?
No.
Doubtful.
No.
Who was the guy they lost to the Browns yesterday? We lost an offensive analyst, I believe, to the Browns. He's going to be the Browns tight ends coach.
I was blanking on that because you said, analyst thing.
Lilly?
Yeah,
Lilly.
Jesse
yeah.
Lilly.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the right?
John Lilly.
John Lilly.
John Lilly.
I know Jesse Lilly. Shouts out.
What's up, Jesse?
What do you do? It's got to be Johnson or Winky, or Kelly takes another job.
But Kelly already said I'm coming back. I like it here. I love Knoxville.
You're going to say you heard that Auburn was looking for a wide receivers coach. Did Cody Burns go anywhere else? Because, he was co-offensive coordinator, but now it's saying he's got the title of wide receivers and passing game coordinator.
Ah.
Oh.
So I don't know if they shuffle stuff around, but he's been their wide receivers coach since 2016.
Okay. Weird.
So weird.
Maybe David Johnson was going to go, but not
be wide receivers.
But he had the connection because of previous wide receivers.
And now, like, so I'm looking at defensive coaches.
David
like,
Johnson's done different jobs, so.
Scherer, no, staying. Rumpf, staying. Kelly, obviously now staying. Terry Fair, you're not getting rid of Terry Fair. Tracy Rocker, as I mentioned, defensive line. You can't get rid of your defensive line coach. Not for somebody else on offense when all the positions are filled.
Yep. I don't know. Let's wait and see.
Are we waiting on the NCAA to pass, like, an extra coach?
One
like,
more?
Oh, we're going to give you guys one more. Yeah, we're trying to get more coaches in the – Alabama's looking for more coaches, so we're going to give everybody one more
slot to
develop some guys.
We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know. We'll keep you up to date right here as it happens. Stay tuned.
Like, what does T. Barton think? It's like, I'm recruiting. I don't even technically have a job right now.
Yeah, like, what am I
– I have no title.
Well, coach, are you going to be my wide receiver coach? Well,
also,
I'm not sure.
How long can this go on? Like –
Actually, I had that question a second ago. Like, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Can you
do this till after signing day?
I don't know. Like
that was Robert Gillespie, right? After signing day, and then
yeah, but you didn't have anybody already on staff. So like that's what I'm saying. If Charles Kelly has been taken off of the recruiting trail right now, is he like forfeiting his salary? Can you pay T. Martin what he would be earning under the MOU while you have a full staff?
Well, you can pay people whatever you want as long as they're not like a GA. Like, so, but having too many coaches,
right?
I don't know about that part. So you can.
But the only people who can work with players,
right,
are coaches and GAs, right?
Yes.
During practice, I mean.
Yes. Obviously not ADs. We found that out the other day.
Buddy, I got nothing, man. I have no idea.
Lots of questions, not a lot of answers.
Maybe Niedermeyer wants to go back to school and be a GA.
No.
You can't take him off the recruiting trail.
Can't lose Moose. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's Hour 3, Basketball Friday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's like Eric Berry might be suiting up for the Chiefs this Sunday against the hated Patriots. Andy Reid said, Berry's look like Berry.
Ooh. Ooh.
Whatever that means. I mean, we know what that means, but... He's practicing fully. Eric Berry practicing fully for the AFC Championship game against the Patriots.
Could he be the difference in the 3-point loss the Chiefs suffered earlier in the year to Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Can't hurt. Gronkowski,
I'd say quite the opposite. I think he's probably a big impact.
Gronkowski's always a nightmare of a matchup. Gotta like having Eric Berry in there at safety, a guy you can can put on him. Teams that have had success on Gronkowski either use a really long, athletic kind of corner. Aqib Talib had some success on Gronk. Or a similar type of safety or two guys. That's basically it.
Like, yeah. You just bracket him and go double.
You cannot just like put a linebacker on Gronkowski and hope that, oh, yeah, that's tight ends, linebackers, they match up. Be fine. Doesn't work that way. Even at his he's a little slower than he used to be, but – Gronk had a great game in the Pats win last week.
Yes,
just
he did.
Blocking.
I was going to say, just effort alone, he looked like a completely different player.
He was destroying people.
Maybe he was just saving himself.
It's not a bad idea.
For the playoffs. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to make it.
Work for Peyton Manning.
Maybe there's something to it.
Mm-hmm. Sunday.
Warriors did it that one year and everyone got mad.
It's true. 3:05 and 6:40 are your game times. The L.A. Rams travel to the New Orleans Saints. That place is going to be nuts. New Orleans is going to be insane. Got a feel on that one? Think it's Breeze and the home field and Sean McVay?
I don't know.
Finally.
I mean, obviously I'm leaning towards the Saints just because they're at home and they won the first match up there and they won big. But have you seen Drew Breeze's numbers the last four or five games?
Dipping.
He's not been the same guy.
Seemed like Philadelphia could have scored a few more points early in that game, it could have been a blowout, really.
Yeah, it's like they couldn't get the score to kind of put it away and change the way the Saints had to play both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, it was what, 20-14 was the final?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it was.
They missed like a 52-yard kick. I guess it would have extended it and ended the game. But, yeah, I'm elated with these two matchups, obviously. The Rams and Saints played earlier in the year, and it was just a back and forth, you know, see if you can match our possession type of game.
Maybe he played a little better against Philly than I thought. 28 of 38 for 301, two touchdowns. I mean, that's good. He was good in the last game against Pittsburgh, last game of the regular season. I think that was their last game, right? Am I crazy? He had 326, only one touchdown, though. But now three of these were road games, but starting on November 22nd through December 17th, they played Atlanta, at Dallas, at Tampa Bay, and at Carolina. He threw for 171 yards in a win over Atlanta. He threw four touchdowns, but 171. 127, remember that game against Dallas, where Dallas just completely shut down Drew Brees and the Saints offense. 201 against Tampa, 203 against Carolina. And again, he did throw for 326 against Pittsburgh in a win, and 301 against Philadelphia last week, two touchdowns. I don't know. Saints are pretty good against the run, which is good because the Rams seem to have found something with Anderson and obviously Gurley, who just continues to get healthier and healthier. I mean, you know, everyone said, oh, can Jared Goff win a cold game? Well, it doesn't matter. We're in a dome. So I don't know. I'm thinking probably another shootout, right?
I don't think so. Like you said, conditions will be perfect. I mean, that was a shootout.
Fast track, shootout. I would favor the home team there, but I think this one's a coin flip. Right now, the Saints are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under set at 57. So, yeah, you know, they're thinking a 30-27 type game, and then which side of the coin do you take as far as who covers? That seems about right to me. Maybe a few more points scored, but we'll see. But again, I'll lean Saints because they're at home, but that's a very tough game for me to pick. They both are, because the Patriots looked great last week. Kansas City, you want to talk about another place? It's going to be a madhouse. Arrowhead is going to be bananas on Sunday. I don't know, man.
Well,
Chiefs are 3-point favorites. So these games are, I mean, they're about even as far as what people think is going to happen. And I think the home teams are probably getting the 3 points, right? That's typically what it is. Home team gets 3 to 4 points. They're giving the Chiefs that, and they're giving the Saints that. Other than that, these are pretty even matchups across the board.
Who'd you pick last week in Eliminator?
Saints.
The only way to do this is like, I mean, if you want to play it the right way, like I go first, I have to take the Chiefs. That gives me a chance to win it by taking the NFC team in the Super Bowl if it goes that far.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basically stuck taking the Rams.
Mm. That's right.
Or you could take
the Patriots.
You could take the Patriots,
sure.
And then, but you might be walled off.
I'm aware of the options.
Have a pick.
I'm aware of the options. Once I get my pick, I'll have to be very careful. But yeah, in a way, I need the Saints to lose. And I pick the winner of Kansas City, New England. That's what I need. That way I can pick the Super Bowl.
Since I have last,
take the Saints.
Theoretically, I could be left with just one team. Like, that's my only option based off how you guys pick.
Who'd you take last week?
Rams.
Was last week the start, or did we have to go back another week?
No, that's
last week was the
first,
start.
Okay. First week
just
of
making
the final
sure.
round.
Yeah, that's the only
just
way to do
sure.
it this with this few
gotcha.
Teams working
just
out.
Just making sure. I mean, I think both of these are going to be great football games. I haven't seen the weather in Kansas City. That's always an interesting dynamic. It was snowy and rainy and windy last week. And again, kind of what we talked about, though, everybody who was able to run the football more successfully than their opponent was able to win. You obviously love Kansas City when it comes to who's going to run it better, I would think. But Sony Michel had a really big game last week. And what was it? James White had 15 catches.
Yeah,
no carries. at running back for the Patriots.
I mean, Tom Brady's just a different different guy on the road in the playoffs.
Julia, what's the Kansas City weather Sunday?
No, I thought you saw that she had it up. Don't put her on the spot like that. It's rude.
She can look it up. It's fine. She's got a minute.
All right. I'm sorry for that, Julia. You didn't deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, Brady at home, he's a different guy. On the road, I know people want to think that if the conditions are bad, that'll like help the Patriots. But
so, quick question:
not necessarily.
If I somehow am able to take the Chiefs and they win, I just can't pick the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're done.
That's not how the game doesn't end that way.
Well, I mean, if the Rams were to win,
that's why I was going to take the Chiefs option to make it easy on you.
I thought we were going to just do whoever was alive for the Super Bowl. You pick the winning team and you pick the score. It doesn't make any sense.
We haven't decided yet.
So, in order to win this round, I could just potentially be forfeiting the entire thing. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard, Nate. It's awful.
Well, but if you win this round and the other two guys lose, then
but that's not playing
the game.
That's just the only possible route I can have to continuing on. That's not playing.
Why I was just going to take the Chiefs. And
the rules should change once you get to this point. That's all I'm saying.
I'll take the Chiefs, and then now you're good. You can play it however you want to.
All right. Not really, though. Whatever.
You can take the Rams, and then you're definitely alive for the Super
Bowl. Say you take the Chiefs, but you're not going to have first pick next week. Say two people go, so I could take the NFC team. If I haven't picked them, then you couldn't pick the AFC.
That's what I'm saying. The rules need to change.
This week is the final.
This week
survivor
should be as is, and whoever
if
survives
make it next week.
Yes, literally what I just said.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying should be the rule. Pick the team, pick the score, closest wins.
I'll still take the Chiefs. You go ahead. Who you want?
Why are you doing this right now?
Because I'm going to talk basketball
next 9:45
segment and wrap it up talking Tennessee stuff.
You need to communicate better.
I'm sorry.
So you're taking the Chiefs.
I'll take the Chiefs. You can take anybody but the Saints.
But the Saints?
Or the Chiefs. Because I already took that.
Give me the Rams. I suppose. Whatever.
If he's taking the Rams, I'll take the Saints.
Punk.
I mean, I don't want to take.
No, I don't.
I don't
I'm
have
kidding.
To root
I don't
for
blame
Tom
you.
Brady.
I don't blame him. That's why I didn't pick him. I don't want to have to watch that game rooting for Tom Brady.
I'm not
rooting for Tommy.
I'm not even sure the Chiefs are the best option, but I want them to win. So I don't want to be torn this week.
A good friend of mine.
Not doing it.
He's a big Patriots fan.
Yeah.
His wife had a chance to meet Peyton Manning. She worked for Tenova.
Okay.
She turned it down because she felt like she would be going behind Tom Brady's back just to meet Peyton. Like, I don't even want to meet him. I love Tommy. That's how I feel picking this game. I'm not picking Tom Brady.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not cheating on Peyton.
No.
That's me right now. No way do I pick Tom Brady. Uh-uh.
Brutal.
Come on, golf.
Do we get
but
the Kansas
I kind of want
weather?
The Saints to win. I kind of
32 and sunny.
But I want Kamara to get a ring. Is that bad?
What do you mean?
I can't pick the Saints, but I want, yeah.
Well,
you get it.
Shouldn't take them last week.
All right. I didn't plan ahead, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had an option last week.
You might not have. Well, yeah, an option, but you took the best one, so that was smart, I guess. I mean, you have to survive.
I am staying alive.
It's, yeah.
And if the Saints win, I'm not going to be disappointed, but if I picked New England and they won or lost, I'd be disappointed. So
sure.
I'll take Jared Goff and just see what happens.
32 and sunny in Kansas City. So should be a good game.
It'll be
should
fine.
Be a factor.
Yeah.
All right. You got those games at 3:05 and 6:40 on Sunday. We'll talk Tennessee hoops on the flip side. We've got to get our Holly Warlick takes in the first 2 minutes, and then we'll give you our picks for Alabama Tennessee men's game to wrap up the show. Football Basketball Friday edition.
Great.
3 and out. The Drive broadcasts live today on location at Corner 16. Swing in, and they'll be giving away Ice Bears tickets, Valor Fights tickets, and a $25 Copper Cellar gift card as well today, 3 to 6. It's the Drive this Friday. That's today at Corner 16 right there off of Middlebrook Pike.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh. Last night, Tennessee Lady Vols basketball lost their fourth straight game. It was the first time that's happened since 1970, when I'm not even sure the sport was an official sport the way it is now.
Were they playing 3-on-3 then?
I don't think so.
With six people?
I don't think so.
On each team? They didn't think women could run the full length of the court, so you just had three people on each half?
My grandmother played that style on a stage, which I've always thought was really cool. Basketball on the stage in the auditorium at her high school. Pretty wild. Yeah, 3-on-3. Not a lot of up and down, you know. That's why you had guards and forwards.
Alabama coming into that game last night was 9-8.
1-3 in conference play. Alabama hasn't been to the NCAA tournament in women's basketball since 1999. They've now beaten the Lady Vols five straight times. You've lost five straight games to a non-tournament team, and last night it was a 21-point loss on the road. I watched every second of the second half. I tried to like really evaluate how this team was playing, maybe what some of the issues were, and I don't have time now to go through it all. But
they lost in the second half. Bad. The second half total, Alabama 50, Tennessee 31.
What'd you say about the third quarter scores this season?
Well, it was better last night, but I think I read that the Lady Vols are losing the third quarter by an average of 11 points on the season. Last night, it was only three. They got outscored 24-21.
I mean, that's third quarter is that's the coaching quarter, right? Not just scheme-wise, but motivation.
Second half, third quarter, second half, yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty embarrassing if you've, kind of grown up with some Lady Vol, pride at all. It's hitting rock bottom. They're going to play Arkansas next. I don't think they're any good. They might win that one, but then they'll welcome number one ranked Notre Dame to Thompson Bowling Arena
and Muffet McGraw.
And we'll I don't know that this may be completely unfair, but the fact that they might like play great for a couple quarters against Notre Dame almost makes you realize that it is all not all, but coaching is the big problem with this team. They've recruited really good players, and they just aren't a very good basketball team. So anyway, Philip Fulmer will be faced with the decision maybe even sooner rather than later. People were saying they quit last night. I don't know about that. Mm. But they definitely were stagnant, lackadaisical. Alabama just sat in a zone and forced Tennessee to shoot and miss and turn it over and blasted them in the second half.
Moving on to Tennessee men's basketball.
All right, 2 o'clock tip-off
tomorrow.
Number 3
in the country. Something exciting and
rivalry
positive.
Rivalry matchup. Chip on their shoulder. It was a 28-point loss last year. Absolutely. It's Tennessee-Alabama.
In basketball?
I don't count it.
Oh, it's Kentucky, okay. Vanderbilt, maybe.
Well,
Memphis.
It adds a little spice when they're not in the top 25 or anything.
Okay, you're trying to spice the game up. That's good.
Yeah.
The sold-out game that everyone's going to watch.
Well, that's why one of the reasons sold out is Alabama. If it was Arkansas, it wouldn't be the same.
I think we're going to sell out every weekend game the rest of the season.
Okay. Fine. Good. Fair enough. Fair enough. I will defer that you are correct in this scenario.
Feels good.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any doubt in your mind whatsoever?
No.
Okay.
No. I think...
No reason to be nervous at all. Tennessee averaging 87 points per game on the season now. Bama, 76. Bama gives up 72 points per game. Tennessee only gives up 66 on average, and that probably went up quite a bit after that Arkansas performance. Tennessee leads in every statistical category. More rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals per game than Alabama. The Crimson Tide, however, they are 11-5, but they've lost two of their last three at LSU and versus Texas A&M before beating Missouri on the road this week, 70-60. Missouri's terrible. Tennessee, as you remember, won that game by 24 with Grant Williams giving you 4 points. And at one point, you had your largest deficit of the season against Missouri. You still won by 24 with Grant giving you 4. Tennessee should be fine. Stay out of foul trouble. Tennessee should be fine.
Yep.
I don't know what the line is. They don't do those until day of. But I think Tennessee anywhere in the 10 to 20 range sounds pretty good. And anything above that, and I'm just going to be elated.
Tennessee, Alabama, tomorrow, NFL playoffs.
You making a pick?
Sunday.
Vols by a number?
18.
I don't think they'll blow them out.
They're going to pop 100 again?
18. No.
I go
close.
13. Tennessee, 13.
They'll be in the upper 80s.
That's what they average.
90-77 for me. Put that one down. NFL playoffs this weekend. Obviously, official visitors as we head towards signing day. Talk Sports is next. Keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio.